Let us pray. Indeed, gracious Holy One, we pour out our hearts, we pour out our praise to you, giving you thanks for the opportunity for us to hear the preached word. Let us respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It is taken from the third epistle of John. That's in the back of your Bibles, if you have a Bible. Or look on the back of your worship bulletin. Listen to these words as John is writing to his beloved friend, Gaius. Dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, you make the faith visible. They made a full report back to the church here, a message about your love. It's good work you're doing, helping these travelers on their way. Hospitality worthy of God himself. They set out under the banner of the name and get no help from unbelievers. So they deserve any support we can give them in providing meals and a bed. We become their champions in spreading the truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you with excitement and joy the title of my sermon for this morning. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the saying, the Lord is, bless you, the Lord is good all the time, and all the time, the Lord is good. Well, we have a lot of children in here with a lot of energy. And thank you for your prayer, Lee, because I've never heard the educators really say amen till you got to that part about having energy. Yeah. How many of you are familiar with the mealtime prayer? We learned a mealtime prayer at my house as it relates to learning how to pray. It starts off, and you can say it with me, feel free. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. But God is a good God. He's a gracious God. Amen? He's so good that he already has given us the answer for our first question in our sermon notes. If you have your sermon notes, you might be able to help your folks who are visiting here, who came here for the wedding or just first-time visitors. I can call anyone out in the crowd, right? Oh, you're getting a little quiet now. Look at the first question that we have is this question concerning the first five books, the first five shortest books in the Bible. Anyone want to take a stab at it? Nope. We're going to do it in order. Where? Hand in the back. Hold on one second. Where's the hand? Oh, wow. Miss Christine. All right. Here we go. All right. Listen well. She's going to do it in the order.
If you miss, then
you're going to have to sit down. No.
John 1, John 2.
Nope. You started off.
John 3.
Wait a minute. What is this, a team or something?
Three Johns.
Three Johns. I mean. All right, you're good.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
John 1st, John 2nd, the other John, the same John.
You got so many Johns in there, we're not sure which one.
The three in a row, and then Jude, and also Philemon.
Ah, you did pretty good, but you missed a couple of them.
Obadiah.
I said in order. All right, here they are right here. 3 John, 2 John, Philemon, Obadiah, and Jude. Now, 3 John is the shortest, as you see, 219 words. It is what we call an epistle. John has given us these epistles in order to strengthen our faith and our maturity and our walk with God. And in this particular writing, around 75 A.D., he is writing to the church, but in most particular, he's writing to his beloved friend known as Gaius. Now get this, here's the unique thing about Gaius, this beloved friend. He is actually ill. He is ill. But you heard me share verses 5 through 8. Even in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of being ill, he still extended hospitality and generosity. He went all out his way to make a difference in the lives of others. Oh, think for a moment. When you're having those days, dreary days, days where you want to have your own pity party and want everybody else to join with you, days when you feel like life is not working out for you, just think about this biblical character here known as Gaius. Now, there are over four people in the Bible, in the New Testament, with that name. But this particular person was a person who was a faithful disciple and of Jesus Christ. And he was willing, in spite of what he was going through, to be a blessing to others. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever your situation is, I guarantee you, and I can step out on faith on this one. Whatever you're dealing with, if you bless someone else, that blessing will come back to you. You'll feel good all over. Just think a moment. Think about what we experience from day in and day out in the midst of pain and despair. How many of you are familiar when life gives you a lemon, do what? Make lemonade. Take a bad situation. Don't have a pity party. Don't text and email folks to join you. No. Have a word of encouragement and things will work out for you. Now, you don't believe that, do you? I'm going to give you a real life example. Two examples. Actually, one as of yesterday. On yesterday, I had the privilege, and it's always a joy, I had the privilege to share and perform two weddings, one here at the church at 2 o'clock and the other one at 4:30 in Daytona Beach on the beach side. And it's always a lot of excitement and love. You know how those weddings go. If you're not there yet, don't worry. You still have time. It doesn't matter what your age. You just get ready for me to share this with you. When I arrived at this church, July 1st, 2012, from Tampa, didn't know as many of you that I know today, quite naturally. But I had one experience that what I call a God moment, and it definitely gives credence to if you extend blessings to others, God will bless you right back. Well, it was in October. And it was during the week, and we received a call in the office that one of our members' family, the husband was rushed to the hospital, and the wife was going as well. And so immediately, and they were in the emergency room, immediately I'd gone to the hospital, local hospital here, and never really been in contact with the husband or the wife, and introduced myself. And a few minutes later, the spouse died. But let me show you how good God is. In the midst of sharing that moment, I met a special young lady. Had a chance to share with her, had a chance to get to know her in the midst of her pain and grief, and she was actually ministering to me. It was a God moment. Now, fast forward. That happened in October 2012. She continued to witness. She continued to come to church. She continued to sing in the choir. She met a young man. You're going to really think he's young when I tell you his age. With a lot of enthusiasm. He got attracted to her and asked her for a hand in marriage. Yesterday here, right here at this spot, they were married. They're in their mid-70s. You don't tell a woman's age. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, they got married right here. That shows you that in spite of her pain, Jane was continuing to serve the Lord because the Lord is good, and God blessed her yesterday to marry her husband. And guess what? Less than 20 hours ago, they're not on their honeymoon on an island there in church. They're right there. Give them a hand. Ronald and Jane. Amen. Look at that. I said this morning, we were in the back and we received word, Ron and I, we received word that, they needed five more minutes, you know, cause you can't have a wedding unless the bride is ready. Everybody knows that, right? Yeah, yeah. And so he was seated and when I shared that with him, guess what he did? He stood up and went to the door and said, "You ready?" I said, no, just calm down. 5 more minutes. And he came out here with a lot of enthusiasm because he's in love. He's in love, and that's a good thing. Love will find its way. So, hey, don't think it's over. I was speaking to a lady who was in her 80s yesterday. I said, "Hey, you could be next." Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love will always find its way. If you take your situation, take your pain, and minister to someone else, God will bless you. Look at Gaius in this passage of scripture as God is moving upon his life because he's willing to spread the truth. Right there in the 8th verse, you see that last word, truth. And it's just so important for us to remember to stand on the word of God, which is true for you and for me. In fact, many of you are very familiar with this passage of scripture. It's only 14 verses in 3 John. Only 14 verses, 219 words. You can read them before you even head to the parking lot. Yeah, it's just that short of epistle. But 6 times in the King James translation, 6 times, you'll see the word truth. Truth. And some people try and dodge the bullet when it comes to the truth. But yet, you remember Pilate asked Jesus. Remember the conversation they had? He asked the question, "What is truth?" I'm glad you asked. As Christians, we are to live and clothe ourselves in the truth of God's word. And Pilate had read the scriptures when he asked Jesus that question in John, the 18th chapter. All he had to do was just go back to John, the 14th chapter. And Jesus said to him very plainly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me." Those are the words of Jesus. He was speaking truth. He reminds us in the Bible over and over again, as it relates to truth, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Some people just can't handle it. They can't deal with it. They can't understand it. How many of you are familiar with the movie A Few Good Men? You remember the lazy attorney Caffey, played by Tom Cruise? And then you remember Colonel Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson? And you remember the dialogue that they were having as Colonel Jessup was on the witness stand? And he continued to respond as it relates to dealing with this young attorney who continued to ask him question after question. And finally, it was Tom Cruise, the attorney, who asked the question, "I expect to receive the truth." And what did Jack Nicholson say, you remember? "You can't handle the truth." Just can't handle it. Can't deal with it. Perhaps you heard about the man who had gone to the doctor. The doctor came in, he had all the x-rays, he had a graphics, and he shared with the man all of the different things that he needed to do in order to live and to adjust his life and continue to live an abundant life. He told him that you need to change your diet, you need to exercise, you need to make sure that you go to bed on time. Well, that man went home that day. He called his 3 sons. His 3 sons came over. He shared with him the prognosis from the doctor, shared with him everything that he needed to do in order to live. They prayed with him. The sons went home to their houses. And lo and behold, the oldest son decided a week later to call his father. And he said, "Dad, how you doing? Are you following everything the doctor told you?" His dad said, "Son, I got a new doctor." Yeah. Some people can't handle the truth. Just can't deal with it. You got it now. Can't deal with it. The truth. Well, if you look at this passage of scripture, it continues to remind us of the words of Spencer as he shares with us that indeed we are to use things and love people. Never love things and use people. Barbara Brown Taylor, the Presbyterian pastor and author, she writes this quote, and I want you to write it down if you get a chance. It's a wonderful quote. It reminds us as it relates to making sure that we be responsible for what God called us to be and how we treat people. It reads like this: "The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being, not as someone you can use, change, fix, help, save, enroll, convince," and we sure need to look at the last one, "or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself if you will allow it," end of quote. It's a clear reminder that we're not to try and control people. We're not to try and convince. We're not to use people, seeing though we can fix it, even though our situation needs fixing as well, or even change. It reminds us that if we do what God has called us to do, that will free us up to be the people God called us to be. You look at this passage very closely, and I don't know about you, but have you ever read a passage in the Bible? And you were reading that passage, and it spoke to you differently. That happened to me as I was preparing this message and sharing. I have read 3 John in its entirety several times, but it reminds me that indeed God wants us to extend hospitality to others and even strangers. That will continue to keep the ministry, the word of God going, to assist missionaries like Lindsay and others to make a difference in their lives. And they have given up extreme sacrifices. Now, all of us can't go into the mission field, but we can pray and support missionaries. Now, there's one thing we all can do, every last one of us. I want you to do this observation real quick. Look to the right of you, then look to the left of you, look in front of you, and then look in back of you. How many of you are willing to volunteer in some, don't raise your hands, volunteer in some form of ministry that will sit down with a Sunday school class of young people and read God's word, or just come and just plant a seed into their lives? We need more volunteers that will continue to make a difference and make a sacrifice. It doesn't mean you have to do it every Sunday, but we definitely need folks who are committed to make a difference in the lives of these young people. You look all around here in this sanctuary, and we need Sunday school teachers. Many of you have many degrees and non-degrees, but you know God's word. We're looking for helpers who will come alongside and do just like Gaius. Make a difference. Plant a seed. Take time. Don't think the world is going to hell in a wastebasket. Oh, no. God's people must rise and step up and make a difference in the lives of others. I'm so thankful that my Sunday school teacher, who was an educator, took time out to teach us in Sunday school about the Bible and God's word. That's so important. So whatever you've been doing on a Sunday, if you just want to see Leah or Leanne and say, hey, I want to be actively engaged and make a difference in the lives of God's people that he placed me in front of each and every day. For if you look at this passage, you'll see the name Gaius. Who is Gaius? I'm glad you asked. Here's the definition, real quick definition of Gaius. He was a well-beloved and a dear friend of John. He was a leader in the church, and he did his job well. He was growing spiritually. He was growing stronger and stronger in Christ and in the fruit of the Spirit. He possessed the fruits of the Spirit. You remember in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He had gentleness. He had self-control. Look to your neighbor and say self-control. He had kindness. He had meekness. You could depend on him. For he loved God's people. And he was willing to make a difference. Now there are three, and I'm getting ready to haste along. There are three characters, three personalities that stands out in this short epistle. These 14 verses, 219 words. And I want you, and we did it at the last service. This is a take-home exercise. I want you to listen to the characteristics of all three and see which one you can identify closely with. Number one is Gaius. He brought joy to the hearts of believers. He brought joy. You heard me say it before. Some people bring joy when they enter a room. And some people bring joy when they leave a room. Yeah. Gaius brought joy. People were happy to see him. They gravitated around him. He brought joy. Joy. Not like Diotrephes. Diotrephes, he was a different character altogether. He was a what? Look at that. Read that. A divisive leader. Love recognition. Love recognition. And if you don't believe that, look at verse 9 in your Bibles and you'll see very closely how John called him out. John said that he had already given the word of God to encourage God's people, but here he comes, Diotrephes, he refused to read the word. Why? Because he was more self-centered and self-serving. But he wasn't going to get away with it. Here you see John had already indicated that he was going to hold him accountable for his actions and the way that he was pushing people away from the church and not instead of drawing them to the church. Thank God for the 8 new people who joined our church this morning and others, because the body of Christ continues to need to be visible in all sectors of society. They need to see the presence of Christ. He was a divisive leader. He loved recognition. He loved being first. He loved to be out front. Now, you don't know anybody in this church like that. Maybe other churches. Amen? But it's a clear reminder that it's not the people who are always out front that runs the church, and especially this church. But it's those who are behind the scenes who make a difference in the lives of others. We have folks who come. Some of you leave your wrappers and you leave your chewing gum and you leave your papers. Guess what? It's a team of folks that come on Monday just to collect those items and clean up the church that we may have clean pews. Well, the last person, and he's not here this morning, but he goes to Indian Trail. He's part of our youth group. He was with Lee last week when they had gone to Georgia. His name is Demetrius. That's right in the Bible. That's in the text. I didn't make that up. Yeah. No, we have a Demetrius who's a member of our church, a young man. He goes to Indian Trail. He's not here this morning. But in the Bible, right here in this epistle, the last character was Demetrius. He had a strong testimony for walking in the what? Truth. John goes right back to his premise, right back to his main thesis. John focuses back to Gaius. the Protagoras here in the text, he reminds him of Demetrius, how indeed he was strong with his testimony. He was strong in his faith. Which character do I gravitate towards as it relates to making a difference and acknowledging the goodness of God in the land of the living? As our praise band is coming, I invite you to consider your walk with God. I invite you to continue to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be a part of His church and His ministry. Because God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand as we sing our last song, Jesus, You Are So Good, and He truly is.